The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, February 17th, 2025.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine. Welcome back to the studio.
Oh, I know. Here we are live at KBBF in downtown Santa Rosa, and I'm really excited to be here, you know, and I want to thank once again all my fans and friends and all the wonderful good wishes that they sent me, and a special shout out to Julie Elliott, who's one of the producers here at KBBF, for coming to my house and doing interviews in my kitchen. I just loved it. It was just amazing. And a special shout out to everybody who's out there today protesting. You know, today is President's Day, and it's very interesting because there's a protest going on all across the nation called We the People, and then they've marked out not the billionaires, but We the People, that they are going to be protesting at every state capitol and city hall today to remind people that we the people need to be considered and need to matter and to start looking at what is going on. I mean, it looks like we're losing our democracy if we're not careful. You know, especially women, and we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful conversation today. And the great thing about people going out and protesting is because we can push back. You know, when our voices are heard, you would be amazed at what happens. I mean, I know what happened during the Vietnam War when people were protesting. I mean, I believe we stopped the war, even though they tried to escalate it and do all kinds of crazy things. It's still, once the people got out in the street and start saying enough is enough, it was amazing what happened. And there's also going to be, they're encouraging people to call your congressmen, call your senators, even call the president's hotline to let them know that you are not satisfied with what is going on in the country today. I know I am not satisfied at all. I'm a little bit nervous. You know, I'm a great grandmother, and I'm thinking of the future of my children, and I'm thinking, wow, we have to stand up and we have to be heard. Well, to help us understand how important it is to stand up and be heard, I have a special guest joining me in the studio today is Dr. Raquel Holmes. Dr. Holmes is a compensational cell biologist and a pioneer in building inclusive developmental science communities with improvisation, which is really interesting. I'd like to really understand. Raquel, I'm going to ask you a quick question. I'm going to introduce you before I introduce you and we get into the interview. Talk about why you think improvisation is so important. What is that? What does that have to do with science?
Well, what it has to do with science and just living is it's relational. It's actually responding to what exists and creating something new from it. So it's building, like I see you and I say hi, and then you see me and you say hi back. That's actually, even though there's a script, the improvisation is that we're together, we're creating together. And scientists create off of what they've learned from the person before, and then they create something new with it. So improvisation is actually something that everybody does, and it's what allows us to evolve.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I was in New York, I went to New York when I was 18 years old, and I was very good friends with a guy by the name of Stevie Landsberg, and we used to do improvisations.
Oh, wow.
We actually had a little bucket out there where people put a dollar in, and I was his daughter, and he was convincing me not to lose my virginity, and I mean, it was just amazing. Well, Dr. Holmes, do you mind if I call you Raquel?
Not at all, thank you.
Raquel's going to be joining to me, and she's going to be talking about something very, very important that she's involved in. Actually, she's one of the co-creators, and this is going to be her third year you know, when I first ran into it last year, it's called the Freedom Festival. I was so excited about it. I said, Freedom Festival, what is this all about? And I was amazed at all the different groups and different conversations that went on. And I got into one, and I just thought it was amazing. And so she's going to be doing it again this year. And what happens is that, of course, we have the Juneteenth holiday, which starts on, it'll be on the 19th of June. And then the Freedom Festival lasts all the way to Independence Day, July 4th. And it's just amazing. And we're going to be talking about that. And it's so many people are involved, you know. And right now what I decided to do is I want to do a three-part series because I want people to know more about what is happening with the Freedom Festival and have people have an opportunity to get in touch with Raquel and maybe start planning a workshop and anything that they like to do. It's very improvisational, very clever, very informative, and I have to say a group of intelligent people from what I saw from last year, it was just amazing to me. And like I said, this is the third year, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, you know, one of the things that we try to do is we try to do our history as our strength. And one of the things that Raquel brought up and she brought in, it is Black History Month. And the theme for Black History Month is African Americans in labor, which is a very, very important. You know, oftentimes we overlook the contribution that African American people have made. So for our history as our strength, you had one woman that you really were really involved with. Why don't you talk about her?
Oh, definitely. Dr. Lenora Fulani, Lenora B. Fulani. She ran for president in 1988 and 1992. She was the first woman and the first African American to be on the ballot for president in all 50 states of our country. And a lot of us don't hear about her because she was an independent. She came from poor background in Philadelphia and then went to college. And when she went to college to become a psychologist, it was all about how could she help her community. And she discovered she had to create something new, that the institutions and organizations that we had at that time, and this is probably in the 70s, were not sufficient to address the ills that were taking place, not in Black communities, because we weren't getting services, the police don't show up, the emergency. Her family died in her home because emergency vehicles would not come to her home. So she was like, we need to organize something new for people to respond to the needs in the country. And she built youth development program. She was part of organizing multiracial, Black-led, woman-led political party, which then transformed to organizing independent voters. And all of it in this location of we the people, like the protests that's going on now. How do we the people create with each other across our differences something that benefits us all?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been doing, the theme that I've been doing the last two shows and also this one, why I brought you on, is to show whose shoulders we're standing on. You know, that a woman like this who had the courage, you know, just showing up with your color of skin is enough. All of a sudden, all the judgments that come on you. And for her to be able to do this and stand up to you, these are the women that are really inspirational to me. And another woman that I like to bring out, we must say happy birthday to, and that's Toni Morrison.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, she was a magnificent writer, you know, and really, really brought the Black experience to the pages, for especially for Black women to understand what was going on with them and what oppressed them. She was born February 18th, 1931, and she made her transition last year in 2020. 24, and she was the first American, African American to win the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1993. So that is quite an accomplishment. And you had one other person, that's Ella Baker. Ella Baker. I'm in love with Ella Baker. Talk a little bit about Ella Baker.
Definitely. So I had the privilege of knowing Charles McDew, who was one of the organizers. He was the second president for the Student Nonviolent Committee Coalition. And so I want to read just a little bit from his book, his autobiography about Ella Baker.
Go ahead.
All right. So, Miss Ella Baker gave me a political platform for my feelings and beliefs. She also taught me how to be a leader in the best sense of the term. She didn't like the preachers who told you what to think. She didn't like the teachers who told you what they thought was the truth. She didn't like the demagogues who told you to believe whatever they said. The only voices you should listen to are the voices of the people. Some of them will be very inarticulate, uneducated, shy. But you need to give them the platform to speak. And you need to get everyone to listen to them. I saw the wisdom of her teaching every day. It gave me the consciousness and sense of balance I needed to interact as an organizer with the rural poor in the Deep South and with the rich and famous in order to raise money for SNCC. It taught me how to treat everyone the same, regardless of their position, wealth, or education.
What a statement.
Yeah.
What a teacher she was.
What
Ella
a
Baker.
Teacher she was.
Oh, my goodness. So these are women that we're standing on the shoulders of. I mean, these are women that took absolute, you know, really took risks to be who they are and what they're all about. So I really appreciate you bringing this in and bringing attention to these very powerful women. I mean, it really inspires me because I think to myself, wow, they were able to stand up against all circumstances. You know, and Ella Baker had such influence on so many people, so many people. So Raquel, thank you so much.
And one more thing in that book is Charles McDew and Beryl Gilfix. So it's a Black Jewish collaboration that both brought out the book and is part of the work that took place in creating civil rights. And I think that's important to recognize.
Well, the civil rights movement had a little bit of everybody.
Yeah.
In fact, nothing works unless we all come together. You know, and you know, one of the things that I think about an awful lot is we are part of the human family. You know, I mean, we come in different colors, we come in different sizes, we have different religions, we live in different countries, but we're still all part of the Mother Earth, but part of the human family. And I think once we begin to recognize that, I think that'll be really, really important. Well, I'm going to switch a little bit here. And before we go into the interview, I'm really looking forward to just talking about the Freedom Festival because I am so enamored about it, about what you're attempting to do and what you've already accomplished. I mean, that you're building on is just amazing to me. But, you know, we have a tradition here at Women's Spaces, and that is on Friday the 14th. It was Valentine's Day, you know, and Ken and I, every Valentine's Day, we read our poem called Friends and Lovers. And what's so interesting about this poem, when you listen to it, you have to recognize that this was written 30 years ago. And at the end, we make the declaration that we will be forever friends. And let me tell you something. Wouldn't you agree, Ken, that we've been the best of friends for the past 30 years?
We kept our agreement.
We definitely did. We had two agreements. One, we would always be friends. And the second one is that we eat as much close to organic as possible. So I'm also going to play one of my favorite songs during Valentine's Day. And another pioneer, Diana Warwick. She was a marvelous, marvelous African-American singer. Which I remember when she came out with this song, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. It's an amazing song. And it kind of reminds us, you know, because love is really a force that once you get on that streamline, it's so much easier to love than it is to hate. It takes a lot less energy. You know, when you're hate, you gotta rub, 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 rub. But when you're love, it's like soft and sweet and kind and compassionate and empathetic. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's listen to What the World Needs Now is Sweet Love, sung by Dionne Warwick. And when we return, Ken and I are going to read our poem called Friends and Lovers as a Valentine treat for all our listeners. So let's go ahead, Ken.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just to love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know.
Wow, don't we need that song? Oh, that song is just so inspiring to me and so important. And, you know, when I think of Dionne Warwick, you know, when she had to perform in Las Vegas, it wasn't until Frank Sinatra actually stood up for African-American people that they could not stay in the hotels that they performed at. That's how segregation was. I mean, here was a very talented, beautiful woman that had to be treated this way. And times have changed, but it seems like they want to bring us back, you know, and that's why I love the theme. There's no going back, no way going back. You know, one of the things they say, they want to bring us back to the 1950s. I want to remind people the reason we were so prosperous in 1950 is because the unions were so prosperous. So it's just a little reminder of how important unions really are. Anyway, for you just joining us, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And, you know, on Friday, everybody celebrated Valentine's Day. You know, I used to love Valentine's Day. But it's become so commercial. But as I look at it and as I recognize that Ken and I are going to read this poem, it let's remind each other that, you know, love is a challenge. It's not an easy thing to do when you're in a relationship. But, you know, if you make a commitment to be friends, I think that is the most important thing. So I wrote this poem called Friends and Lovers, and I wrote it after we we had, I think it was our fourth breakup. The first 5 years, I think we broke up four or five times, Ken. And then I wrote this poem for us, and we've been reading it now for the past. This is our fifth year that we'll be reading the poem. So let's go ahead, Ken. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, you take the first line.
I remember when we simply called each other friend. When did that end? It wasn't so long ago I would pick up the phone and call you and let you know I was alone. We'd laugh and cry and tell each other about the adventures of our day. We never gave a thought to beginnings or endings. We were just friends.
I don't remember missing you until I began kissing you. I don't remember worrying about you being cold or about me being too old until we began kissing and holding and I felt the depth of you within me. It seemed so much easier back when we just called ourselves friends. I get scared when I think of growing to love you.
When we called ourselves just friends, I loved you in a different way. Was not afraid that you would leave me one day. I would just listen to what you had to say. There was no charge, no emotion, no attachment. Words were just words.
If a friend was coming by, I did not need to know who or what they were to you. A friend was simply coming by. If you told me of a past or present lover, or any experience for that matter, I do not remember my cheeks getting hot or my heart beating any faster. I was neutral and thought you were sharing and living your life, and I was sharing and living mine. How strange how it all changed when we became lovers.
Perhaps I lie to myself, and I am not as free as my fantasies would like me to be. It seems that just being friends is less tearful and less fearful. Why, I asked myself, does it all change? Strange, but it does change. I feel like a child when it comes to relationships. Feels like no one has shown me the way. No one has shown me what to do when I feel inside the feeling of I love you.
Oh, I don't want it to change. I want us to be friends. Lovers come and go, but a friend is forever. I want us to be natural and move in our own time and our own rhythms. Is that possible? Is that true? Is this something that I or both of us can do?
At times, I feel trapped. I want to move forward, even when I feel my insecurities cause me to move backwards. Backwards in time. When I hung on for dear life because I had no sense of self. Slip back. It's so subtle, yet so real. It's almost like I am suspended in space. All I know is that I'm about to lose something, and I'm afraid it's you. When I fear the loss, I feel like I am being tossed aside. Oh, I know what it means. It means I am lacking my own self-worth, my own self-esteem. It never seemed to happen when we just called ourselves friends.
I want us to be friends. I want us to be lovers. I want us to respect one another and give each other space. Is that grace? Is that the grace we learn when friends become lovers? There is so little I know, except with each encounter, each challenge, I grow and know how deeply I want us to be friends, but not just friends, but friends and lovers.
Lover and friends. What does that mean?
A lover is just that. A lover is one who satisfies those deep, lustful, delicious needs. Well, a friend is everything in between. Yet I know in order to have total lust, I must trust. I must trust that you will be there for me in my times of need. All I can conclude is that we were friends first, and if the lovers choose to go away, I want the friendships to stay.
Let us take a stand
to be lovers friends. To be forever friends. Whoa. I really love that, Ken. I really love that. Well, thank you once again for reading with me.
Well, I love that, and I love you.
And Michelle, Raquel followed us. How'd you think of that one, Michelle?
Well, what I thought was, like, I might need to take this home to my partner so we can read it as well.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a musical break right now. And Raquel made a special, special request, and we're going to play the song we're going to play called Bread and Roses. Who's singing that song, Ken?
Bobby McGee.
By Bobby McGee. And I'm going to ask her to explain why she chose that song when we open it. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Freedom Festival that, like Raquel, Dr. Raquel Holmes, this is going to be her third year that she's developing it. We're going to start talking about it. We're going to talk about what the Freedom Festival is, also how people can get involved, how people can donate, how people can just become part of the whole situation. So let's go ahead. Let's play Bread and Roses by Bobby McGee. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Dr. Holmes.
Come marching, marching in the beauty of the day. A million darkened kitchens, a thousand mill lofts gray, are touched with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses. For the people hear us singing, bread and roses, bread and roses. children and we mother them again. Our lives shall not be sweated from birth until life closes. Hearts starve as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us roses. As we come marching, marching, unnumbered women dead go crying through our singing their ancient song for bread. Small art and love and beauty, their drudging spirits new, fight for roses too. As we come marching, marching, we bring the greater days. For the rising of the women means the rising of the race. No more the drudge and idler, tend that toil where one reposes, but a sharing of life's glories, bread and roses, bread and roses.
You know, it's really interesting when I listen to that song. I'm thinking of this as Black History Month. And, you know, it's also, they're celebrating 100 years ago since the Pullman and the maids went on strike. And it was actually the first strike that black people actually engaged in, which was an amazing thing. And I think about the women, how the women that were involved, you know, what they sacrificed. Not only did they sacrifice their own lives by being on the lines when they were striking, but they were also sacrificing the lives of their family because they were threatened. All kinds of different things happened. So it's an amazing song. And also, just a quick thing about the Freedom Festival, the reason I thought it was so important to incorporate it right now with Black History Month, because this is a form of making history, because you're telling stories. You're telling stories of your stories. You're engaging in conversation. You're engaging in community. So it's very, very important, because if we don't do that, we are not going to make it on this planet. Community is the most important thing, and seeing each one of us as the family of humanity, I believe, is very important. Well, welcome back. I mean, I've come through. I don't know. I've been on a real spiritual journey since I fell and hurt my knee, but it's amazing how relaxed I feel and how confident I feel about what's going on in the world, that there's huge changes happening, but at the same time, there are people that are coming forward like Dr. Holmes and just doing amazing things. So without further ado, sitting right across from me in the studio here is Dr. Raquel Holmes. Dr. Raquel Holmes, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I'd love to say doctor. I'm so proud when women have a doctor's degree. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Well, welcome to Women's Spaces, and thank you so much for being here. And, you know, this is the second time you've been on mm-hmm. Women's Spaces. And before I introduced you, I gave you all kinds of your resume and stuff, but I thought we'd do a little bit different. I thought, let's get down and personal. Let's talk a little bit about yourself. First of all, talk about how you got your doctor's degree, what the degree is all about, and anything else that you would like to share with us, where you were born, how you came to Sonoma County, whatever is on your heart, just go for it.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. And I'm so excited to be here with you, Elaine. I grew up in Sonoma County. So I was born in San Francisco, and my sister and I say, where else would you be born other than San Francisco? It's a fabulous place. But I grew up just around the corner from the studio on Dutton, at Dutton and Barham, which was fabulous. And I'm a black daughter to a biracial couple. My dad was a professor at Sonoma State. And I enjoyed running the streets on Dutton Ave and knowing that our neighbors cared for one another, that we had some sense of who the neighbors were, that we were all mixed, right? We were white, we were Native American, we were Mexican, we were black, we were poor, working class, and farmers.
Right? Sounds like our neighbor. We live over by Indian Village.
Okay. Exactly. So, you know, there's that you can have a safety in this moment, or at least that's what we felt, and it's unincorporated Roseland at the time, right? Meant a lot to me.
And but as I grew up, and you know, I was born in 68, so I'm in my 50s, and it was a biracial marriage. My parents were married by Quakers because nobody else would marry them. They got married before the 60s. But I think the inability to talk about race, I think, or the experience of how we experience racism personally, actually tore us apart. I think the lack of social community-based support for trying to do something new didn't leave them with much. And so my dad was off in getting his PhD in African studies and history, and then my mom is raising three kids at home. And that impact of the inability for love to conquer all, that, like, we need love, but it doesn't conquer everything, so it impacts us. And I wanted to be able to create something in the world where people who want to be together can be. And that has something to do with the social conditions we live in. That's political, that's cultural, spiritual. So that's the, it's personal, but it goes deep pretty quick, right? Like, that's meaningful to me. And I kind of dedicated my life to figuring out ways to help people come together. And so the Freedom Festival is part of that. When I went to get a PhD, like, how does all that go with getting a PhD at the sciences in biology? I went to, I was back east at Williams College. I went to UC Santa Cruz. When I finished, after doing some wonderful women's studies courses at Santa Cruz, doing poetry and other things, I was like, I'm going to go become a barista and write poetry. And my dad said, you're a black woman in the world. You keep going to school. You go get that PhD, and then nobody can ever say that you need more education. So I listened, and I decided I'd do something I cared about, which was to study something about women. So I studied eggs. I studied ovaries. And I wanted to do something that would help people. And also, I was like, well, I'm going to study biology because changing the world is a slow process, and I need something that I can make money with. So I became a scientist while I was then looking for ways to change the world. And performance comes into that.
That's so interesting. You know, here you're a scientist, and you're looking to find a way to help people understand who they are and put a little bit more meaning in their life. So talk a little bit about the Freedom Festival. What happened? Did you all of a sudden one night you had a dream, I'm going to have a Freedom Festival? How did that all come about?
I'm so excited and proud of the Freedom Festival because it's very much the continuation of standing on people's shoulders, as you talked about. So the Freedom Festival... So we know after Floyd's murder, the country did what it likely needs to do again, which is go to the streets and to make it impossible for ordinary activities to take place without companies and government institutions responding to the fact that we need to change. That's how we got the DEI programs, the diversity, equity, inclusion programs that were put into place in the last few years. But scientists said to me, colleagues, people who come to me for my business. So my business, Improv Science, is a consulting company. I help people in their leadership development and their team alignment, and I use play and performance for that. Some of those people said, well, Raquel, what are you doing? What are you doing around Floyd and Black Lives Matter? How can we participate? And so I created a thing called Uncomfortable Independent Conversations, where individuals could come and talk about race and class and how it impacted them in a multicultural, multiracial environment. Because I think we have to be able to talk to each other across race, across class, across gender. And that was beautiful. But it was also only so many people will sign up for an uncomfortable conversation. Only so many people will say yes to that. During that time, Juneteenth becomes a national holiday. Right, so I'm doing this one activity of independent conversations. Juneteenth becomes a national holiday, and I'm saying, ooh, what does that mean? What does that mean for us as a country? And I go to an event, and I hear that Opal Lee, the woman who championed, right, was one of the, and she didn't do it alone. None of us ever do this stuff alone. She led the marches that were like, let's make this a national holiday, Juneteenth. Emancipation Day, the celebration of when Texas was informed you can no longer hold the enslaved, That's what happened. So we get a national holiday. How is the country going to relate to this holiday? It's ours.
So what you're saying is when Juneteenth became a national holiday, it kind of woke an awareness in you.
Well, to everyone, because I mean, I'm sure a bunch of people said, well, what's Juneteenth? It's not like we talk about we're still learning to talk about the historical moments in our country that are us adjusting to the racism that is a part, that's embedded in the very way that we grew as a country. Like, we're still learning. So Juneteenth was a surprise for some and known by others, but it was an opportunity for me to say, it's our national holiday. It's ours, and ours is everyone in the United States. It's not only a black holiday, it's ours, because this country created the opportunity to end enslavement, to end chattel slavery, that which, you know, people inherit other people as properties. We did that. So how do we then celebrate it? And Opal Lee said, we should celebrate from Emancipation Day to Independence Day. So it's not just getting away from the Brits. It's also taking into account Frederick Douglass and the conversation of what does independence mean to a black person in a country that didn't count us as part of the country. But we have emancipation. So Juneteenth to Independence Day, we can all talk about what liberty means to us, what freedom means to us, and independence. We get to do that together, and we get to celebrate. We get to have the roses, as we seek the bread.
Well, you know, you just brought another thought to my mind that I think is very, very important. You know, oftentimes, you know, people get all upset with Black Lives Matter. You know, they want to know White Lives Matter, and they put all this other thing. But when you start thinking about it, just listening to you, I'm thinking about Black Lives Matter, and the reason I think they matter, the reason they're important, not just because of the oppression, but because of what happened, that they were the ones who were in slavery for 400 years. They know what it's like to live under a dictatorship where they have no rights or anything, and that there's a big lesson there for us to learn.
And the hard part, there's a big lesson in that we built the country on the backs of free labor that was millions and millions of hour, and it wasn't free labor, it was forced, and it was ripped from people, literally from people's skins and hides. That's what built the country. And since then, oppression and discrimination, so the fact that you couldn't buy a house if you were black, literally in the paperwork, cannot be sold to black families. Like, that's in our fabric. That's recent. Lynchings, the killing of people outside of court systems, has been in the last 100 years. It's been in our lifetimes. So that's the oppression and discrimination, the inability to seek help from institutions, police, healthcare, that are supposed to serve citizens, and then in being black, not being able to access them. That's what happens now, and we know something about that in the present day.
Right,
which
in the present day.
In the present day.
They're trying to take away busting all these different departments. You know, I mean, people are frightened. Are they going to lose their Social Security? Are they going to have Medicare? You know, all these different, are they going to have a job?
Right.
You know, this whole thing of disbanding the DEI, which was to help bring more equality into the world.
Well, and it's interesting because, so I am an academic, PhD, that's an academic thing, right? I work with academic institutions and corporations and basically any size. But the hard part is we still have to go beyond DEI because not much of that still reaches the poor communities. So I think it's so critical that we continue to recognize that our feet have to live in the living conditions that we've created in the country. Right. So the Freedom Festival for me was wanting to create that platform that Ella Baker was speaking about, to create an opportunity that anybody, regardless of how educated, it makes me very emotional because I was at a protest and there was a black man who was speaking and saying some things that people didn't like. He was like, well, he was concerned about the police. And it was a moment where people were like, but no, we're protesting the fact that they're killing people. And he's like, but he was concerned about it. And they wanted to take the mic away from him. And I'm like, you don't do that. You got to create a stage where people can say, this is what I think about freedom. This is what I think about independence. I think it's important that whatever they have to say. And so the Freedom Festival is an invitation to everyone to create something that they want to share about their stories, that they invite other people to. So it's an invitation. It's like, come to my potluck of thoughts. Come to my potluck of artwork. Come to my, you know, my trivia night. Come to my dance party. One of my favorite celebrations is Gay Pride. I'm queer. I'm a lesbian. I'm a dyke. I think I'm only the one who's supposed to say that, but that's who I am. I love it. I'm proud, right? And I love being able to have a day where I get to party and celebrate and say, this is who I am. So I want to invite people in the Freedom Festival to be able to create a moment where they invite people to celebrate with them about freedom and independence.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question I ask all my women, all my wonderful women guests, especially someone like yourself who has the tenacity to say, I'm going to have a Freedom Festival. Where do you feel you get your confidence? I mean, I love being around you because you have an air of confidence about you. Where does that come from? Who has really influenced you in your life?
Well, I think so. You know, Fulani, most definitely. Like, I got to work closely with her in creating and youth development programs, and I've learned about performance. So I'm like anybody else. There are moments I'm shy. I don't want to get out of the car. I don't want to go talk to people in different places. But in this, the confidence here is I have a pride in Sonoma County, in Roseland, in people. I believe in heart. I believe that people, if you create the invitation that someone can say yes, that they're looking to love and be proud and be out. And so I think my confidence comes from that I'm riding the wave of humanity.
Boy, that's beautiful. I mean, you think that's how I feel sometimes. You know, I feel that I get on the radio, and what I'm really trying to do is just bring people together and inspire them to go out in the world and talk and to not be afraid to meet somebody, not be afraid to do something differently. Well, you know, one of the things about the Freedom Festival that I found fascinating, and like I said, I found it very late, so I could not really participate as much as I wanted to, and it was your second year. And it was pretty full program. How do you bring all these people together? I mean, you're having workshops. You know, you actually let people develop their own workshops. You know, you have suggestions that you make that maybe they'd help them. How do you get these people together? And what is the motive?
Right. Well, so, I mean, it's a lot like what I've already said. I invite people, like, what are you dreaming of? What's something that you'd like to do that it's either something you're already doing and you're like, oh, I could do that as part of the Freedom Festival. I could do that sometime between June 19th and July 4th. Oh, yeah, let me have people come over and paint tiles together on something of freedom. I'd like to do that. It's like, so I ask people to do something within their grasp, right, and to do it as part of an activity with other people around the country and actually around the world, and that there are partners, the Global Play Brigade in particular, that brings play and performance around the world to address humanitarian needs, that do events, but come participate in that. So, and I've been an organizer since the 90s, so I know some other organizers. So one of the events, Creating Our Mental Health, is led by Dr. Jesse Fields, who's a physician in Harlem, and that's where she goes and works in homeless, not works, but spends time in homeless shelters and food banks, creating workshops where the people are literally playing with poetry and their emotions as part of creating their mental health. I'm not sure if I answered your question or not, but of course,
no,
I have lots to say.
I'm beginning to try. I'm trying to paint a picture of what it looks like. So it sounds like you have people that do workshops, but then also people that are doing things, say, in private venues that get
yes.
together. So there's a different mix of different venues.
So people do things right, we say in person, which means wherever they are, which, so Sonoma County, it could be, there's art at Johnny's Java that is art from my dad's art collection, and we go there and we do poetry and have a conversation with the art. So that's an in-person activity. The Juneteenth events in Arizona, there's a Juneteenth event in West Valley. That's an in-person activity. But we also do conversations online, like the one you came to, that's on Zoom, which people can sign into from anywhere around the country. And that one was inspiring conversations. What were people inspired or learning about? There are ones that are black populism. There's visiting the Underground Railroad. Those are all online things. So basically what people do is they reach out and say, yeah, I'm thinking about presenting an event, and I invite them to then come to a meeting the second or fourth Saturday of the month on Zoom, and we hear what they're thinking about, and then we create a posting on the Freedom Festival website, freedomfestivalusa.org, and say, this is the time of the event. It's online or it's in person, and if it's in person, where that is. Here's how you register, or if registration is needed. You don't have to register for some things. Like, you don't register to go to Johnny's. You just go when you can and you look at the art, right? It's an open public event. So we're basically curating what other people want to do during that time. Does that help?
Oh, so in other words, let's say someone like myself, I'll use myself as an example.
Wonderful, thank you.
Put you on the spot.
Yes, perfect. Perfect.
Like, I do the thing on self-esteem.
Yes.
You know, so I could develop that workshop, and then we go to the group to tell them what I'm planning on doing, then it's either a go or not a go.
Oh, no. This is all yes. This is all yes. We're an all yes group. We are radically inclusive. And so there's different parts. So you could do, I know that Elaine Holtz actually has this wonderful podcast radio show that she does. And during that time of Juneteenth to July 4th, one of those would likely be a freedom conversation. Oh, it's the Freedom Festival. You know what? On this Monday during the festival, we're going to be talking about freedom and independence and what it means to you. And you would maybe choose who your Freedom Festival icon is. Who's your, who, Elaine, when you think of freedom, who is it that you think of?
Who do I think of?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think of my Dr. King.
Great.
When I think of freedom, or I think of even John F. Kennedy,
yes.
Jr.
Yes, exactly.
I think of freedom.
Exactly. So maybe that day you would be talking about Kennedy and how and why he was so important to what it means to create freedom for you. And you would invite others maybe to play with, hey, who is it for you? Send me an email.
Well, actually, I think of freedom. When I think of freedom, I think of my grandmother. You know, I think of my grandmother coming over from Russia, you know, with her sister and her mother. They had two loaves of bread each when they came across the waters. I'm always trying to figure out, how did they get water?
Yeah.
You know, but when I think of freedom, I think of people taking such great steps. I think of even freedom. I think of the Vietnam people, yeah, with the boat people, when they were trying to escape the country. They were on the boats and through these horrible waters. And I think of what people go through for freedom.
Yes.
You know, and how when you have it, you know, right now, especially when you start thinking of freedom, right now we're in the process of having our freedoms taken away from us, particularly women. You,
yeah,
know, the right to choose is being taken away. So there's all kinds of things around freedom. But at the same time, when I think of self-esteem, I think in order to have freedom, you have to be able to step up. You have to be able to speak out.
So that's where I think faith comes in. And the faith is being able to act, right? To go ahead and act on what you believe needs to happen.
Well, let's talk a little bit. We're coming to the end of our segment. It goes very, very quickly. How can people get involved? Like I said, we're going to go into three. We're going to do two more interviews about this, and we'll be able to get in depth once you start really having some concrete workshops that we can share.
So there's multiple things. So one, people can volunteer, and they can come
to one of our Freedomista meetings, so this online Zoom. And so what you do is you go to freedomfestivalusa.org and click on events, and you'll see there a link that says Freedom Festival or Freedomista monthly meeting. And register for an event, or just email me at info@freedomfestivalusa.org, and we'll figure out whether you want to host an event, whether you want to support by helping us with outreach, by helping us with mailings, or to donate. So we have, when people donate, they become the part of the 500 for Freedom, the people who are investing in creating platforms where people can share their stories, like the Vietnam War, like the fight for freedom, like coming over from Russia, like emancipation from slavery. So whatever that story is, that they can participate in the Freedom Festival with that. So they're not all workshops. Some of them are. Some of them are singing events. Some of them are art, are just art exhibits. It's, we're creating it together is the important part, I think, in the Freedom Festival. And they're going to be dance nights at different venues. So those are the things that are coming forward, and reach out and you will get a warm and pleasant reception.
Well, you know, in reaching out, sometimes it's difficult for people.
Mm.
You know, oftentimes they think, well, I don't know if I could do this, you know, and I think it's important to take a risk.
Thank you for saying that, because the other part is you can volunteer to attend. Sign up for the newsletter so that you get the announcements of the different events that are taking place, and attend, because by attending, you're becoming part of the movement of creating something new and positive, right? Like, so one of the things, protests are so important because there are people going to the streets, and it's equally as important to build something. And so that's the invitation. Volunteer as an attendee. Say, I want to come to some of these things. I'm going to come to at least one of the Freedom Festival events that's online. Or I'm going to go to the event that's near me. That is so valuable.
Well, I have one last question. We got about 4 minutes to go. But how do you see, what is the idea of the Juneteenth to July 4th? What is that expansion?
Mm-hmm. I think it's 16 days is a good amount of time for everybody to do something. It is that relationship of Black leadership. So the you said something earlier about the Pullman in terms of the strikes. So since slavery, strikes have happened, but they weren't union strikes. Rebellions, right? Like the have always been happening, and those are the fights that take place. So leading with emancipation, since we have a national holiday, and exploring emancipation for everyone, not leaving out that there is joy and pain. So last year we did a lot of emphasis on joy and pain in freedom and independence. And that leads us to the Independence Day, which is, like, for me, became conflicted when I was just like, yeah, I still love Independence Day, but it's become more like it is a questionable thing of looking at our history. So emancipation, June 19th to July 4th are 16 days in which we focus and intentionally celebrate and explore the conversation together on freedom and independence.
Well, there's a lot to chew on with that. There really is. It's tremendous, and I'm really proud to know you and proud to be able to talk about this, because I think it's extremely important that we get together and talk about freedom. Yeah. And when you look at July 4th and you look at Juneteenth, it's the same kind of thing. We were fighting for our Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
It's the same thing, to be independent, to have your own say, and to be respected for who you are. Very, very important. Give your website one more time, how people can get a hold of you, and how they can, if they want to go to a meeting, how they can find out where the meeting is.
FreedomFestivalUSA.org. You can find the schedule of meetings at FreedomFestivalUSA.org/events, and you can reach us at info@FreedomFestivalUSA.org, and send an email. That's sufficient. We'll reach back.
Well, Dr. Raquel Holmes, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest, and for participating, and for, it was a last minute thing, and I really appreciate it, because I just felt what I'm trying to do is get people to understand that we're standing on the shoulders of many great women. And something like this, the Freedom Festival, also helps us understand what people are doing and how they're getting their confidence and how we can join together, like we talked about at the beginning. We're just a bunch of human beings trying to have a better life for all of us. So thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces.
You're welcome.
Wow, this has been an amazing show. I'm so happy to be back. And I just want to give one other thing that if there's a... Oh, no, that's only in Spanish, Ken. I can't read it. This has been a wonderful show. I want to thank Ken Norton for reading the poem with me, Friends and Lovers. It's just been a real delight. Ken, thank you so much. It's our annual thing. And again, I want to thank Dr. Raquel Welsh for being such a wonderful guest and talking about the Freedom Festival. And a reminder that all the information, all the websites that we gave, all you have to go is go on www.womenspaces.com. And there's all the information, and I really encourage you, check it out. Don't be afraid. Just check it out. Say, I want to be part of, everybody wants to be part of a Freedom Festival, and just see what it's like. I know for myself, I'm hoping to participate this time. It's just been very, very exciting for me. Anyway, like I do at the end of every show, I remind our folks that our children are the future. We must never lose sight of that. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
So easily, she knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, February 17th, 2025.